Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
All right, it's game night in the Valley, the night we've been talking about, anticipating, waiting for, the Lakers versus the Suns, downtown Phoenix, 7 p.m. Monty Williams already kind of nudging the crowd that, hey, you know, really like to hear you cheer for us.
And when there's been things to cheer about, and there's been a lot this year, the atmosphere has been better. They're expecting the first sellout of this year.
Uh-huh.
Tonight at Talking Stick Resort Arena. There's going to be a ton of Lakers fans. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
But the Lakers come in, and we were expecting them to come in red hot with a winning streak intact. They didn't get it done on Sunday night against Toronto, so they are now 7-2 overall. Their winning streak snapped, but listen to this. Suns win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied for the best record in the Western Conference. The Lakers would be one of the teams that they'd be tied with. Just saying.
I saw an internet report that used the word contender next to the Phoenix Suns, and I almost fainted.
I'm not going there.
No. But there's a difference between being a playoff hopeful and being a contender. I'm like, okay, all right, it's a little early for this. But, hey, you know what? Devin Booker's name is showing up on MVP. A lot of stuff starting to happen with this basketball team. Check the power rankings. They're, like, anywhere from, like, 9, 10, and 11. So, that's a massive jump from the start of the year.
Oh, yeah. They were low 20s to start the year. And they've been mired in the low 20s for about 4 years in a row.
About 4 years. Yeah, big litmus test.
Looking forward to it.
All right, the Arizona Cardinals, what are they doing? That's a really, really good question, Vinny. They're getting ready to play the 49ers, whom they played, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, not even.
Not even that. And they're doing so out of the wreckage of that game in Tampa, where the more you thought about it, the more you wonder what exactly went down with the officials. I heard Paul Calvisi this morning kind of suggest it's part of a larger pattern. When he talked about the hand clapping and who was targeted for that in the preseason, the only team to be assessed a DPI that wasn't called on the field. I don't know about that. That's that persecution complex that flares up here very, very easily.
Yes. Again, was it a factor in the game? Certainly. Was it the only factor in the game? No. The Cardinals should have won that game by 3 touchdowns based on the quality of play,
yeah,
based on the opportunities that they had in front of them, and based on the mistakes that they made that were self-inflicted. So it doesn't make it any less frustrating. I almost quoted John Perry, who was on the broadcast last night on ESPN for Monday Night Football. There was a play toward the end of the game. He was like, well, the game is on the line. You got to look at it. It was on a spot play on a third down run, and he was marked short. And that was his exact words, the officiating expert. Game's on the line, 2 teams playing hard. You have to take a look at this. Well, I guess game wasn't on the line in Tampa, and it wasn't 2 teams playing hard in Tampa.
Right. No, one of the teams is the Arizona Cardinals. That's why. By the way, that guy in that game last night, I can't stand that guy. You talk about just the refereeing expert in Monday Night Football.
John Perry?
Yeah. I thought, you like this guy? You like what he brings to broadcast?
I didn't really. Well, I'm not a fan of the broadcast in any capacity.
He was just like every single time. Oh, that's a good call. That's a good call.
You feel
that's
that about all? Call. Do you like Dean Blandino?
No, don't like him either.
Any of those guys, yeah.
I know. Blandino does an okay job. I think he does a better job at this than he did in heading the officials. I think Mike Pereira does a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, just to ask yourself the question, do you need an officiating expert in the booth for every single game? The answer is unequivocally yes, because they've bungled the rule book and the translation of the rule book so much that nobody even understands it anymore. I have to ask an NFL head coach yesterday, have you ever been confused about what pass interference is? And to Cliff Kingsbury's credit, he says, he kind of laughs about it. No, it's always pretty clear in college.
Yeah, right. That's right.
That's why these guys have jobs, is because the rules are too complicated for even the most astute football fans to realize what's going on.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. All right, as we mentioned last night, great game on Monday Night Football. The bottom line, the 49ers are no longer unbeaten. The NFC West got a little closer at the top. You could say that rivalry is back once again. Russell Wilson overcoming a bad interception in overtime.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sort of thinking this is Russell Wilson's moment to really seize control. Most people still believe he's an MVP candidate, or a lot of people do.
Yeah.
This would give him an upper hand over Lamar Jackson on a big stage.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the throw wasn't a horrible interception, because I thought the linebacker for San Francisco made a great play. You're like, that shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually gave Seattle the ball back again with a chance to beat him. Took him three possessions in overtime to get that win. It was an amazing football game.
No, yeah, it really, really was. All right, in college football, we're going to talk some ASU a little bit later on, but the college football rankings come out tonight. This is going to be interesting because Jared Carlin said something earlier today that I think a lot of people are really fearful for. It sounds like Alabama, if LSU takes care of business, has played itself out of the college football playoff.
Yet there sounds that way now on November 12th.
But there are a lot of people who are just waiting for this system to fail them again and serve the SEC again. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there are scenarios out there, but I'll be real curious to see how this whole thing shakes out. Can Ohio State score 70-plus points in a game as the number one ranked team and fall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they played Maryland.
Right.
And everybody scores 76 points against Maryland.
Well, and I don't think anybody would have
not Rutgers.
Yeah, right. I don't think anybody is going to have a problem with LSU elevating to number one.
No, obviously, that was, you know, if you're going to call it the game of the century, whether you believe that or not, and the television ratings for LSU-Alabama were up 47 or 48% from last year.
Yeah.
That game is the game people wanted to see, and it was entertaining, it was high scoring.
It was unreal.
It had good individual performances, and it was a big win for LSU, and their resume is ridiculous right now. Not only are they undefeated and number one, but the quality of teams they've beaten.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. No, I know. You're right about that. All right, finally, the Coyotes, they beat the
By the way, stay tuned, because Ohio State plays at Rutgers on Saturday, and they might hang triple digits on
them.
Wow.
Might be like that Utah basketball score.
I didn't see that basketball score. What was it?
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
They won by 97 points or something?
The University of Utah?
Yeah, 143-47 or
they
something.
They play the Rutgers football team?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, and there's a couple of other things to consider. You mentioned a few of the schools, Ohio State, where do they land? Where does Alabama in this whole mix? Where's Minnesota in this mix?
I know.
After a big win over Penn State that was in the top four last week.
I know. They're unbeaten.
Baylor still, and they have an opportunity to have a marquee win this week. Wow, Utah beat Mississippi Valley State 143-49. Goodness gracious.
Good gravy.
What a shellacking.
All right, finally, the Coyotes, after blowing a three-goal lead, win in the nation's capital in a shootout.
So I'm flipping through the channels. I'm watching football. I get alerted to the Coyotes score. They're up 3-1 on Washington. That's one of the best teams in hockey.
And you're like, wow.
I'm going to turn this game on. So I finally locate it on NBC Sports Network, and I see the lead dwindle at 3-2. And then in the last 4 minutes or so, I see it tied. And then I see it go into overtime, and I see the puck hit the back of the net off the stick of TJ Oshie. And I'm like, oh, they did it again. They still got a point because it was overtime, but man, that's a crushing loss. Turn the TV. Stepped away from my phone.
That's funny.
And then I see alerts later on after I logged onto a computer. Coyotes win in a shootout. I'm like, what happened?
They avoided disaster.
Never turn the TV off before you think it's final, unless you are watching the Cardinals-Buccaneers game on Sunday.
There you go.
Then you're okay.
There you go.
Yeah, but how about this for back-to-back for the Yotes? The last two Stanley Cup champions on back-to-back nights.
Wow.
In Washington last night, they get a win. In St. Louis tonight to take on the Blues.